Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
Good morning, Chicagoland. It's Dave Player on 720 WGN. And as they switch around their chairs and their microphones and their headphones, Mr. Dave Schwann joins us this morning. Good morning, Dave.
To quote the late, great David Bowie, ground control to Major Tom.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Good morning, Dave. Good morning to you, sir. How you doing down this side? Frigid morning.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you got that right. It is frigid out there. You heard Roger talking about these below wind chills. Nothing to mess around with.
No.
And so it was pretty brisk
yeah.
coming in this morning.
I got to tell you, I'm pretty lucky. I get Roger Badish and Dave Schwann hanging out on
Darn
my
right,
show all night.
Lucky.
I'm a lucky guy. Seriously, I love working with you guys. You guys are a blast.
Likewise.
Well, we got kind of an extended This Week in History.
That's what you were saying earlier in the week.
Well,
I did get your email.
Yeah, I must have missed that. I apologize. But it's Betty White's birthday today. And she was born in 1922. It's her 94th birthday. We're going to get to that in a second. I'm going to go in order from date to date. 1813, very important day, Dave. The pineapple was introduced to Hawaii. Very important. Yeah, especially when you think about them. Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. 1889, Columbia Phonograph Company was formed in Washington, D.C., which became, I mean, that was
what
really
happened
the
there.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. And Tommy Mottola, who ran Columbia for years, is somebody that I actually
Boy,
knew personally.
There's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Right. I knew him when he wasn't the president of the company when I got to know him in the 80s. He was still, I believe, in sales and marketing and all that other good stuff when I was in the music industry. But yeah, he ended up running Columbia, which became Sony Records.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool. 1915, the neon tube sign was patented by George Claude, so the neon really started making its impact, of course, in Times Square as well in 1915. But 1922, and this is, I'm pretty excited about this, Betty White is born, and I'll tell you why. She was born in Oak Park, Chicago's very own. In the Guinness Book of World Records, she holds the record, Dave, for the longest female TV entertainer on television, 77 years in the business.
Wow.
Think about that. I mean, I can't even think of somebody that was 50, 60 years in the business, much less 77, because she started in 1939 on an experimental television station.
Well, this is a female entertainer now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bob Hope might have, you know, some sort of longevity like that, but I can't think of any other woman. No.
No, no. And her, you know, she's still working. Her next role is going to
be. Maybe not even Lucille Ball.
No, it
Seriously.
Wasn't. No, no. And I don't think it was Bob either. Bob really didn't hit television until like the early 1950s. He really didn't. When you think Betty goes all the way back to 1939
mm-hmm.
and still working,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think she might beat out everybody. There's actually a reboot of the classic game show, To Tell the Truth. You know, she's a game show queen as well.
Sure.
And
yeah.
she's going to be on
Wasn't she married to Alan Ludden?
She was married to Alan Ludden. Yep,
decades.
Yep.
It seemed like decades.
Yeah, but To Tell the Truth is coming back to ABC, and she's going to be on the panel.
Oh, that I've heard that To Tell the Truth is coming back.
Yeah, she was on the original.
So she was...
yeah.
You Tell the Truth or Password? To Tell the Truth was, know.
She was on almost, she was on a ton of, yeah. Here, let me tell you, it was,
What's
My Line?
Your name, please?
What's My Line? Password, Match Game, Pyramid, Hollywood Squares, Crosswords, Chain Reaction, Family Feud, Win, Lose, or Draw. The first one was a show called Make the Connection, the first game show she was on, hosted by Gene Rayburn in 1955.
Wow.
So there you have that. Now, here's the really cool part, Dave. Now, Betty was my first interview ever when I started here on WGN almost 5 years ago. And I had called her and I said, look, I was co-hosting overnights with Bill Leff. I was with Dean. I was doing shows with Dean since he had me as a guest since like 2004. But I started really my own gig here like almost 5 years ago. But Bill was on the air And they had me kind of train with him a little bit. And he said, well, why don't you bring somebody in and interview him? And I said, well, let me see. Who do I want my first interview to be? And I called Betty because I knew her through the museum. And I said, listen, would you be my first interview? She goes, David, you know, it's been a long time since I've been somebody's first. Is what she said to me. So I'm definitely not very polished here, but I thought I would share a little bit of my first interview ever. And to celebrate Betty White's 94th birthday, here she is, the lovely Betty White.
I heard you were in charge of the entertainment portion of the Teddy Awards show this year.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I could have helped you out. I used to do a wonderfully artistic dance at private parties, but unfortunately... I don't have my costume anymore.
Oh?
Her snake died.
He died happy.
Mills Freelander attempted to harass me repeatedly. What do you mean he attempted to? He worked at Lars Erickson's drugstore and tackle shop. He was a soda jerk. Now that I think about it, he was the town jerk. Every Saturday afternoon, I go in and have a sundae. Well, Mills would arrange the ice cream scoops in an obscene way. I could never prove it because by the time I would take it home to show my father...
Hey, Betty.
Hey, how are you, Dick?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
Just great. Thank you.
You know, I have to start out by saying your incredible career has spanned over seven decades, television, radio, the movies. You're an author. You know, what is left? What haven't you done?
Well, the answer to that has always been Robert Redford, but I still haven't.
You know, I think there's still time. I think there's still time for that.
I don't think you would find me that appealing.
Oh,
at 90, you know.
Oh, you know, America loves you. I can't imagine that Robert would feel any different. You know, I'm going to start with something that I don't believe too many people know about and have heard before. Your first role was in a play called Land of the Rising Sun.
Yes, it was in grammar school, and I wrote the play. We were studying Japan, and I wrote the play, and of course, as any, you know, self-respecting playwright would do, I wrote myself into the lead.
That's brilliant. And that was the launch. That was it. That's what started it all.
Well, I had always wanted to be a writer before that, but once I got on stage and once I checked out that audience, that changed my whole perspective. I thought, oh, this is fun.
That's great. And you know what? Usually, you know, Betty, when you talk about somebody that's got a lifelong career in all these different mediums, you know, you always say, well, they started in radio. But really, back in 1939, you actually first appeared on television.
Yes, it was an experimental thing. I was in high school, and they had a thing downtown, an experimental demonstration of television on the top floor of an automobile dealer.
Wow.
So we did The Merry Widow, the leading man in the graduation play, and I did The Merry Widow on the fifth floor of the Packard showroom. And the audience, there was one small television set down on the main floor among all the cars.
That you probably had to scrouch down to look into, right?
Yeah, well, my parents and the parents of Harry Bennett, who was the student body president that I played opposite, had to go down there and stand among the cars and watch this little 10-inch screen.
That's awesome. I love that. And then you actually, in the 40s, you did some radio, and then you broke into television again, and you did a morning show, which, you know, Hollywood on television, which I have to imagine prepared you for anything.
Well, we were on 5.5 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Whoa.
For 4 years with no script, no nothing. Whatever happened, and but it was like going to television college, really.
I bet.
it was a wonderful experience.
And then, you know, being you were the co-creator, the producer and star of the sitcom Life with Elizabeth, another pioneering moment for a woman in television, which is incredible.
But we didn't know any better then. We you know, it was years later that the women's movement came through, so everybody said, well, weren't you amazed at being a woman producer? And said, we never thought gender. We just, if the job was there to be done, we did.
Right, exactly. And I think that was your first Emmy nomination as well, was back then in 1951.
Yep.
Amazing. And then you did a daily talk show. You did another sitcom, Date with Angels. And then we really got to know you in the 1960s with being the queen of game shows on Password.
Oh, it was such fun. I wasn't the queen of game shows, but I loved game shows.
And that's where you met your beloved husband.
Yep, on Password.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, what would he say to all your success now after all these years of 90 years, 70 years of show business? What would he say to that right now?
Can you believe it? At age 90, I'm still not only working, but working steadily in a successful show. I mean, who would have dreamed that could happen?
And you're still getting tons of offers.
Well,
for roles.
I know it, and I'm the luckiest old broad on 2 feet, believe me.
But then you broke out. I mean, you know, people know you best, of course, as Sue Ann Nivens on the Mary Tyler Moore Show and Rose Nyland on the Golden Girls. And for both these shows, you know, very similarly to Hot in Cleveland, you know, one show you were only going to make one single guest appearance, and the other one you were almost cast as another character.
Yes, on Golden Girls, they called me in to play Blanche, and that was Rue McClanahan. And Jay Sandrich had directed most of the Mary Tyler Moore shows, and Jay directed our pilot of the Golden Girls. And it was Jay's wisdom that said, if Betty plays this man-hungry Blanche, the neighborhood nymphomaniac, after doing, you know, the same part.
Sure, Sue Ann.
Sue Ann on Mary, they're going to think she's doing the same gig. So it was his bright idea to have me play Rose, and I'm eternally grateful. In fact, we had dinner last week, and we're still Jay and his wife and I are still very, very close, and so we were laughing about it all these years later. We were saying, if he had let me play Blanche, my career could have ended right there.
Well, it gave you probably some new challenges, too, new opportunities for a different type of role. So that must have been exciting, too.
Absolutely, and it made me stretch a little, you know.
Sure. And, you know what's funny about going back to the Mary Tyler Moore Show, you know, you were only going to be on one or two episodes. It wasn't really going to be a long-term thing. And that's really what happened to you with Hot in Cleveland playing Elka?
Oh, well, I had it in my contract. I agreed to do the pilot, providing I would not be obligated if the pilot got picked up. Well, first of all, you do a lot of pilots that never see the light of day.
Sure.
And then, secondly, I just didn't have time. I wasn't being snobby. I just didn't. The schedule was too full, so I thought I didn't want to find myself contracting to do something that there's no time for.
Sure. What changed your mind? What made a difference?
Well, you do so many pilots that don't get picked up. We were picked up in 3 weeks. Sometimes you'll do a pilot and you don't find out till months later whether they're going to do it or not. We got picked up in 3 weeks, and by that time, I had done the pilot with Valerie Bertinelli and Wendy Malick and Jane Leaves, and we all just fell in love with each other to the point of having such a good time that when it came around to getting picked up and they came to me and asked if I would do some more, I said, but that wasn't the arrangement. Well, I have the backbone of a jellyfish, and they kept saying, well, what if you only work this? What if you only do this? So, I said, well, I'd do a couple more, I've done every one of them.
Well, you seem like you're having a great time doing it.
I am having the time of my life. You couldn't ask for a happier set.
There it is, Betty White. That's my first interview ever on WGN, but it's her 94th birthday, so happy birthday to you, Betty. All right, Dave, we're going to do the rest of This Week in History after a quick break. The rest of the story next on 720 WGN. This should be your theme, Dave. It's the Lone Ranger. So it's
Schwani.
Yeah, it's exactly. I love it. First radio broadcast, 1930, of the Lone Ranger on WXYZ in Detroit.
In Detroit.
Yeah. Now, I love listening to the old-time radio stuff, but I remember really growing up watching the Lone Ranger.
The Black and White on Channel 9.
On Channel 9. And the Cisco Kid. It was back-to-back on Sunday mornings. Classic.
Every so often, I must interject, though, because I'm the older of the two of us here. Every once in a while on Family Classics, when Frazier Thomas was hosting Family Classics, they would show a Lone Ranger movie.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I forgot there were movies, too. Mm-hmm. Of course.
I don't know how many movies there were, but there were a couple, probably, in addition to the...
With Clayton Moore? Was Clayton Moore the star of the movies,
Clayton
too?
Moore was the Lone Ranger on that, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
1937, the first inauguration day was on January 20th. 1955, Scrabble debuts on the board game market. 1961, not only was there the first live nationally televised presidential news conference by JFK, but it was the first episode of The Dick Van Dyke Show. Which I got to tell you is still one of my absolute favorites of all time.
At the very beginning, it was a lot of fun because Maury and Rosie were two people who had comedy timing like nobody in the world. And they're always there, and you just rode on top of that rhythm that they set up. And my own timing was pretty good, you know, and physically. And it was just fascinating to watch Mary Tyler Moore grab it, just grasp it. So quickly, she saw what was happening and played off it.
This was a great ensemble. I mean, this was one of the greatest shows of all time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing something on TV Land or somewhere else a few years ago, a kind of a mini documentary on the making of the Dick Van Dyke Show. And Mary Tyler Moore, who was a rather known but unknown person, you know, in show business, auditioned for the part of Laura in front of Carl Reiner. He said, "That's it. She's Laura."
He was considerably younger than Dick,
yes,
too.
Yeah. And what's really wild is to see some of the shows that were shot in the maybe the late 50s. And Mary Tyler Moore comes up in small parts every so often.
Oh, right. Exactly.
There's no mistaking her.
Yeah. Nope. Not at all. And I interviewed Dick, I think it was last November. So if you want to catch that, it's at WGNradio.com. 1965, the home of the Whopper was trademark registered. And Have It Your Way.
Now, that's the way to do things, our way.
Have it your way, have it your way at Burger King.
You know, are these classic commercials when you hear them, because we were all watching the same channels all the time. It's just amazing, because you remember that tune, right?
Of course.
Yeah, those jingles.
Of course.
Stick with you, man.
You didn't tell me to wear the platform shoes.
No, I didn't. My apologies. 1968, speaking of platform shoes, Rona Martin's Laugh-In premieres on NBC in 1968. 1975, Barney Miller premieres on ABC. 77.
There's a classic show. Talk about classic TV
another
shows.
Channel 9 where you'd watch the reruns, you know, on every day. 77, Ernie Banks was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. 85, Born in the USA peaked at number 9 in the top 10 by Bruce Springsteen. 1989, Michael Jordan scored his 10,000th NBA point in his fifth season. And 1991, Seinfeld debuts on NBC TV. I love Seinfeld. Yeah, exactly. There was a short run first. They did like a summer, the Seinfeld Chronicles, but it became an actual series in 1991. Here are one of my favorite clips about Jerry trying to reserve a rental car.
We have no midsize available at the moment.
I don't understand. I made a reservation. Do you have my reservation?
Yes, we do. Unfortunately, we ran out of cars.
But the reservation keeps the car here. That's why you have the reservation.
I know why we have reservations.
I don't think you do. If you did, I'd have a car. See, you know how to take the reservation.
Yeah.
You just don't know how to hold the reservation. And that's really the most important part of the reservation, the holding. Anybody can just take them.
Let me speak with my supervisor.
Here we go. The supervisor.
Absolute classic. I love that. I'm a big Seinfeld fan, so it's good stuff.
We had. Did you go to a party for the final episode?
I did not for Seinfeld, and I was disappointed at the Seinfeld. You know what? Curb Your Enthusiasm. I don't know if you've seen that on HBO, but you know they redid.
I just watch Larry David walk across the room and start laughing.
Yeah,
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
But I mean, they really kind of redid the Seinfeld final episode, which was classic.
Oh, yeah. But you could see some of the bits in the way in which Curb Your Enthusiasm was structured.
Yeah,
it was. You know, based on or just a carryover from what he did with Seinfeld.
The only final episode of any show that I've ever been on was Cheers.
Yeah.
And saw the last episode live in California. And then when they had the Tonight Show with Jay Leno at the time, when they interviewed the entire cast in Boston outside of the Bull and Finch, which is the which is where they did the exterior for Cheers.
Yes,
I went to that. I've got a poster.
Oh, cool!
I'll have to show you, Dave, in my basement that says Cheers Last Call, Boston, that I got from going to that event.
Oh, that's great!
When the whole cast was drunk.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? They were completely loaded on national television for a full hour, and Leno had no idea what to do with these people. It was pretty funny. 93, Sears announces it's closing its catalog sales department after 97 years. That was 1993 when they stopped serving the catalog. Now, I worked for Montgomery Ward and Company, 20-some years ago, and in their corporate office. And to walk the hallways of that catalog building along the Chicago River, which is the home to so many other companies now, they used to roller skate across that massive warehouse to go pick and fulfill orders.
Oh, did they really?
Oh, yeah.
The ones that stretch across along the river.
Yeah, because it was a wide open floor from floor to floor, and that's how they would pick orders and ship them out. And then they put them in tubes that would slide down the side of the building to the mailroom.
Amazon.com can take lessons.
Seriously. Yeah. You think about that. Absolutely. And then finally, 2003, the United States Department of Homeland Security officially begins operations. Dave, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming in early.
Yeah. Stay warm out there, Dave.
Absolutely. You too. Yeah. And have a great Sunday, pal.
Talk to you next week.
All right. And to all of you as well. My thanks to our news team, Roger Badish and Dave Schwann, our engineers, Aubrey Mumpower, Bob Ferguson, and of course, producer Bennett Wakenight. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. It is 5 o'clock, and here are the top stories with Dave Schwann.
Cloudy, 4 above at O'Hare. We have a wind chill index of 15 below. No need to tell you. Bitter cold here in Chicago. Here's WGN meteorologist Mike Hammernick.
It's going to be below zero all weekend long, right into Monday morning. The deep freeze returns to Chicago.
Do you have a cold apartment? Call City Hall.
Chicago's heating laws are in effect all winter long, no matter what the temperature is outside. Inside a Chicago apartment, the temperature is supposed to be at least 68 degrees from 8:30 in the morning to 10:30 at night, and 66 degrees from 10:30 at night to 8:30 in the morning. And the city doesn't accept excuses from landlords. They face big fines if they don't comply. If you think your landlord's not meeting the requirements, call the city at 311. Roger Badish, WGN News.
It's also a good idea to check on friends and neighbors that you think might need help in this weather. Iran's President Hassan Rouhani says the Iran nuclear deal with six world powers is a win-win for everyone. Speaking to Parliament, he says no one was defeated, including various factions within Iran itself. More tornadoes are possible this morning across central and southern Florida. Waitress Andrea Callahan works at a Denny's in Sarasota, where a large and dangerous tornado was spotted nearby last night.
I have never, ever, ever, ever seen this. I'm a New England girl. I'm quite scared of this. The hurricanes Yes, but I've never seen a tornado here. I've been here for 10 years. I've never, ever seen a tornado. We do have watches occasionally, but that only lasts a few hours.
And the watches in this case include Key West, Miami, Fort Myers, and Tampa. Illinois is trying to get a handle on how many heroin overdoses there are under a new state law.
The state health department is developing procedures for collecting information on overdoses required by the Heroin Crisis Act. Supporters of the law enacted in September say the requirements will lead to better records. Hospitals and coroners must now report all overdoses to the state. Susan Berkus, WGN News.
And Metra is banning hoverboards because of the potential fire danger from the lithium-ion batteries that power the devices. The commuter agency says the two-wheeled scooters will no longer be allowed on trains. Metra staff will ask people with hoverboards to exit the train. Sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Hi, it's Lou Manfredini. Are you looking for something to do this weekend? Well, the Home and Building Remodeling Expo is at the Lake County Fairgrounds in Grays Lake this Saturday and Sunday, January 16th and 17th. Our friends from By the Yard will be there. You know the outdoor furniture company I've talked about? The makers of the really comfortable, maintenance-free gliders, chairs, and dinette sets. Well, if you're an outdoor and recycling enthusiast, then By the Yard Furniture is for you. You see, they make all of their outdoor furniture from 100% recycled plastic milk jugs right here in the USA. Now, have you thought about your spring and summer plans for that patio furniture? Is your outdoor entertaining space looking a little dull and worn out? Well, then it's time for an update. Visit By the Yard in Vernon Hills or at the Home Show this weekend to see all of the options. 847-793-0303. That's 847-793-0303. Or bytheyard.net for your free color catalog.
What's really on your teen's mind? You may be surprised. Join Dr. Lawrence Steinberg, one of the world's leading authorities on adolescence, at a free lecture Tuesday, January 26th at the Mack Arts Center in Glen Ellyn. Learn solution-oriented strategies based on cutting-edge research on brain development, risk-taking, and self-control, all to make us more compassionate and effective parents. Don't miss this free event as he discusses concepts from his best-selling book, Age of Opportunity, The New Science of Adolescence, Tuesday, January 26th at 7 p.m. at the Mack Arts Center. For more info, visit WGNradio.com/events.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Are you tired of wondering, will that old furnace make it through another winter? Is your furnace constantly breaking down? Let Four Seasons bring the comfort and peace of mind back to your home and cut your utility bills by 40%. Call Four Seasons today to receive this special offer. Furnaces from $1,795. Plus, we guarantee to beat any quote by $500. So call today.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Getting caught in the storm, you know, really did turn out to be a risk. And if our timing was a little bit different...
Steve shudders to think of what could have happened to his loved ones that day. Plan ahead so you don't get caught in a storm. If a storm is headed your way, stay inside. If you're outside, seek shelter in an enclosed vehicle with a hardtop roof. Learn more and see their story at safeelectricity.org.
Sponsored by the Energy Education Council.
WGN Sports. College basketball yesterday, Northwestern losing to Penn State 71-62. Nebraska beat Illinois 78-67. It was Indiana over Minnesota 70-63. Notre Dame beat Duke 95-61. Milwaukee over UIC 87-62. Loyola beating Northern Iowa 51-41. And Western Michigan beat Illinois 83-69. College games today, Creighton's at DePaul, Michigan State plays Wisconsin, Michigan's at Iowa, Southern Illinois plays Drake. Blackhawks host Montreal tonight. Our pregame's at 5:30, face-off 6 o'clock with John Weideman and Troy Murray here on 720 WGN and WGNradio.com. Football yesterday in the NFL, it was New England over Kansas City 27-20. Arizona beat Green Bay in overtime 26-20. Two games today, Seattle's at Carolina, Pittsburgh plays Denver. WGN traffic still looking at a couple accidents out there. One is on Lakeshore Drive at Jackson, south at Jackson, southbound on Lakeshore Drive. The right lane is blocked there once again on Lakeshore at Jackson. Also an accident with injuries at 79th and South Yates. And we do have continuing construction on the Kennedy, the outbound Kennedy, the off-ramp to the 290, the Eisenhower. All lanes are blocked there. because of construction, and that will be the case through 4 o'clock tomorrow morning. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, a wind chill advisory goes into effect tonight, this evening, Sunday night at 7 o'clock until 12 noon tomorrow. Mostly sunny for your Sunday, cold, a high near 7 above. Wind chills could get down to 15 below or lower, and gusty winds up to 30 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, low of 0, wind chill values down to 20 below. And for Martin Luther King Day tomorrow, sunny, a high near 12, but those wind chills will be down to 20 below for tomorrow. Thus the reason for the wind chill advisory. O'Hare 4, Midway 7, Palatine 4, Chicago's Lakefront 7, barometer rising, winds are northwest at 15. The warmest temperature we have is the Lake Michigan water temperature. It's 33. However, the wind chill index now 14 below. Next news at 6:30 or when news breaks and at WGNradio.com. I'm Dave Schwann on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Your host, Charlie Potter, here on WGN Radio. Thank you for joining me this morning, and hopefully you enjoy the show. I'm going to start off with something that is not very near to Chicago, but where I had the pleasure of being earlier this week as I tried my best to escape what has actually been a very brief winter so far, but winter nonetheless, and I'm not an individual who wants to run to the coast of Florida to go sit on a beach. So instead, every year, for many, I have headed south to the marshes of Louisiana along the Gulf Coast, and that's what I want to talk a little bit about this morning. Not so much about the duck hunting, that's not the purpose, but to talk about the ecology of the Gulf Coast marshes and also what's going on with the really massive flooding in the Midwest, and then talk a little bit about, in the next few minutes, about what it's like to spend a morning in one of the great birding places on Earth, and that's the coast of Louisiana marshes. But as you're all aware, or many of you are, the flooding, which has devastated portions of the Midwest, upper Midwest, and now moving to the south, I've talked on the show several times about its impact on wildlife. It has a great benefit to migratory birds, particularly waterfowl, who now have literally millions of acres of habitat available to them that ordinarily would be dry, either in soybean fields or corn fields or cotton fields or dry woodlands. Now the entire Mississippi alluvial plain basically is awash in water. Levees are being broken, and from really central Illinois all the way to the Gulf of Mexico, the Big Muddy, as the Mississippi is called, and the Ohio and the Missouri and the White and the Cache, all these in the Atchafalaya, all these rivers are just raging. And when they rage like this at this time of the year, which doesn't happen all that often, it provides just an incredible bounty of habitat for migratory waterfowl. So the damage to personal property is obviously real. The damage to agricultural property, not so much, because we're not in the growing season. The only place where there's going to be substantial damage is where levees broke, and sedimentation, mostly sand, has washed in or caused blowouts. But there's really not, it's not a time when we're growing, so there's not much of an agricultural issue. So the benefit is to waterfowl. So heading to South Louisiana, as I did this week, I expected, which is always the case, much warmer climates than Chicago, although by Louisiana standards, it was cold. It was actually 34 degrees on Monday morning as we set out from south of Lafayette in a little boat. And what I really want to do is take you on a little bit of a journey, I guess, of what it's like pre-dawn to be in the dark of massive marshes, in this case, 76,000 acres of contiguous marshland. That is a size which, well, Madewin, it's over 10 times the size of the Madewin Callgrass Prairie, and that's just this one marsh I was in. And we set off at the ungodly hour of 4:30 in the morning, and I actually asked my host, are we in a different planet, or does the sun come up unusually early here? For shooting time and sunrise wasn't until 6:30, and we left the landing a little bit after 4:30, in boats that are built for Louisiana. They're narrow, and they're long to go down the canals, and they're shallow draft, and 34 degrees in the Gulf Coast marshes is the equivalent of about zero in Chicago. The humidity just grips you, and with a full slate of stars overhead, not a cloud could be seen. Of course, there was actually no moon either, so we really had the full darkness, the full array of stars were overhead, and not even a light. I don't care how far you looked in any direction, not an oil rig, not a refinery, not a single light. As we headed out of the darkness under the roar of these 250 horsepower Mercury motors, inboard outboards, and we went for nearly 45 minutes winding and turning our way through canals and turns and twists. And in the bright light of day, I would have no idea how one could find their way. But in the dark, it was even more unbelievable as we raced along at 20 miles an hour. Eventually, and think about spending 45 minutes in an open boat, by the way, when it's 34 degrees and you're going 20 miles an hour, it's bloody cold. Eventually, we arrived at our point of transfer from where we left a big boat to get into what in South Louisiana they call pirus, which are basically, the best way to describe them is they're floating pieces of wood that you try to stand in and not fall out of. They're long. They're about 10 to 12 feet long. They're about shoulder width wide. They have little gunnels, maybe 6 to 8 inches, and they were designed, 200 years ago or more by individuals who settled in South Louisiana. They were designed to be able to pole your way through the marshes standing up. And if you've never done this, I don't advise doing it in the dark of night or in the middle of winter. Better off to try it in a swimming pool in the summer. These things are as tippy as an apple, and you stand in them with a push pole in hand, and in the darkness with a headlight on your head, you start to pole down little channels that seem to be nothing more than just openings in the reeds. So I followed my host in front of me. He had not only was he standing in his boat, but he had a very active black Labrador retriever that was moving from side to side to side to side. I have no idea how he stayed in the boat. All I had to do was stand up and lean on the pole as I pushed my way through the marsh. And we moved for another half an hour or so, ever deeper with the cattails and the rows of cane higher than our heads. And every so often we would flush a egret or a heron. In the distance, we could hear lots of pintail chirping, and it became like a symphony. Half an hour later, we were now we're almost quarter of six, 45 minutes before the appointed time at which dawn actually came, and the marsh, 45 minutes before daylight, was actually alive. You could hear nutrias squealing and screaming off in the distance. We could hear egrets, we could hear mallards, we could hear pintails, snow geese, white front geese. It was just a symphony of sound, frogs croaking. As we paddled our